Today I want you to turn your attention, if you will, please, to the 72nd Psalm. The book of Psalms, chapter number 72. In the 72nd Psalm, we have one of David's prayers recorded. I want you to take special note this morning as I read through the Psalm, and then later as I compare this passage with some other Old Testament passages that reflect the fulfillment of the verses of this psalm. And I want you to put yourself in David's position, in this case as a parent. Your Bible may say, a psalm for Solomon. And in this psalm we have David's prayer for his son, Solomon. Now, on prior occasions, I've shared with you that David was not the model father. David was certainly not the perfect father, for he raised some really nasty kids. On one prior occasion, I shared with you that he was very unscriptural in his raising and his disciplining of his son Adonijah. It caused great strife in his home. On the other hand, David really did know how to raise and rear a child, as exhibited in the way he treated his son Solomon. And here in this case, he's praying for Solomon. Hear the words of God. Give the king thy judgments, O God, speaking about himself, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. I want you to give my son your righteousness. Verse 2, he begins to confess in this prayer what he was believing for his son, and I want you to note his very specific requests and his very specific believing and confessing. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, this will not be meaningful to you unless you understand that this prayer is prayed before Solomon ever became king. David prayed this prayer for his son while he was yet young. He was looking ahead to Solomon's life. And he prayed these very specific prayers. As I read this psalm, I marvel at how carefully God fulfilled the specific prayers that David prayed for his boy. And I want to take some time this morning to just bring you a teaching, as the Lord showed it to me, as we move in the life of Solomon and see how David's very specific requests were fulfilled. Now, you'll have to hold your hand here in Psalm 72 because we're going to be going back and forth in this passage. So you'll need to retain your place here. And I want you to notice we're going to be going to 1 Kings to get the fulfillment. Now, even though your Bible may have 1 Kings, it should have 1 Kings, before it has Psalms, that does not mean that what you're reading in 1 Kings is chronologically occurred previous to the words you're reading in the Psalms. For that's not the case. David's prayer in Psalm 72 occurred before Solomon became the king. How do we know that? Because Solomon didn't become the king until after David died. And David couldn't very well pray the psalm after he was dead, could he? So the request is made about Solomon before any of these things could possibly occur. And David made very specific requests concerning Solomon. And what I want us to be seeing this morning is that we as parents need to be in prayer for our children in very specific ways. And we need to be bold in our petitions concerning our kids. We need to be bold in asking largely of God with regard to our offspring. And the time to begin praying for them is when you know that you're carrying them in the womb. And you don't stop praying for them until you have what it is, the petitions that you've made of the Lord, or until you know in your spirit that God's heard those prayers and you have confidence in your heart that your prayers are not only heard, but you're going to be receiving them. Now, there are maybe 7 or 8 specific requests here that he makes concerning Solomon that we want to identify. There are others that will not take the time, but I think you'll get the message very quickly. The first request is found in verse number 2, Psalm 72:2. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. Now, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, we see, first of all, that Solomon, whether he knew about his father's prayer or not, made a request of God as God appeared to him in a dream one night. Solomon had just been crowned king. And in the 9th verse, God has asked Solomon, "What is it that I should give you? What is the one thing that you would like for me to do for you?" And in verse 9, Solomon said to the Lord, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good or bad," good and bad, in other words, "that I may judge with righteousness. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" Now, I would not want to say that it was not a coincidence, or that it was a coincidence, rather, that David's prayer and Solomon's prayer were the same. David asks God to give to his son an understanding heart that he might judge the poor of his people with righteousness. And that same desire was in the heart of his boy. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, the 21st verse, God promised his people when he said, "The same spirit that's on you I will see is on your children, and the same words that are in your mouth I will see is in the mouth of your children." And here's an example of it here. Solomon makes the request, and in the 12th verse, God answers and says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. But what you've asked for, that you may judge with righteousness, I have given to you." And David's very specific prayer I cannot overemphasize this. His very specific prayer is very specifically answered. He said, God, this is what I want you to do for my son. The son said, God, this is what I want you to do for me. It was the same as his father had requested. And the Lord said, I'm doing exactly as you and your father have requested. The next passage is in Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. This one I think you probably already saw as we were going through the passage. David said, confessing positively for his boy, when he becomes king, he will deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul, watch this now, from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Now, we don't have time to read the whole story, but it's contained in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through the end of the chapter, and the story concerns the coming of two mothers. It's the first judgment that we know that Solomon rendered. The two women lived in the same house. As I recall the story, I remember that they were prostitutes. They were pregnant by prostitution. They both had children. They lived together, and in the middle of the night, one of the mothers rolled over on her baby and smothered the baby and killed him. In the middle of the night, when she found that what she had done, she switched the babies. Deceit, violence. The next morning, the legitimate mother of the living baby came to Solomon because the two women could not sort out their differences, and Solomon gave that great wise instruction that they should take the live baby and take a sword and cut him down the middle and give him half to one and half to the other. And the real mother came forward and said, no, don't do that. Give him to the other woman. I don't want my child destroyed. David had prayed for that kind of situation before Solomon ever became the king. He'll save the poor and the needy. Deliver the needy when he crieth. Redeem their soul from deceit and violence. There's the fulfillment of it in 1 Kings 3. In the 10th verse of Psalm 72, David says that the kings of Tarshish and the Isles shall bring presents to my son. In 1 Kings 4 and 21, 1 Kings 4 and 21, and Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. They brought, what? They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. What did David pray? That they'd come from everywhere and bring presents. And what did they do? They came from everywhere and they brought presents. David, this father, was bold to pray for and to confess the best for his son. And his son, in fact, had exactly what his father had requested for him. To me, I marvel at this. And my heart is deeply blessed as I see what God will do for the prayers of faith of fathers and mothers who care enough about their children to pray and who believe God with sufficient strength to pray specifically and directly for their children. In the 7th verse of Psalm 72, David said, in his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. If you'll turn to 1 Kings 4 and 24, you will find that the record concerning Solomon's reign, for he had dominion over all the region on this side the river, from Tipsah even to Azah, over all the kings on this side the river, and he had what? He had peace on all sides round about. I call that the abundance of peace. In Psalm 72:11, David prayed that the kings will fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. And in 1 Kings 4:34, we read, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth. Notice that. That's not a coincidence that it's recorded like that. All kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. What did David pray? All kings would fall down before him. All nations would serve him, and that's precisely what occurred because of his great wisdom. In the ninth verse of Psalm 72, we're told that the enemies shall lick his dust, or lick the dust. Rather than being in power, they shall be weak. And if we go to the fifth chapter of 1 Kings, which is where your other hand is, and read the third and fourth verse, notice how marvelously this has become reality in Solomon's reign. Thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And so Solomon did have exactly what David had requested for him. In the 10th verse, in the latter part of the verse, David requested, you wonder why David should pray this way, that the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. He got the country right. He just got the sex of the monarch wrong, because it wasn't the king of Sheba, but it was rather the queen of Sheba. If you'll turn to the 10th chapter of 1 Kings. Watch this now. What did David say? That the king of Sheba shall offer gifts. Second verse and second verses. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold, and precious stones, and when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. What did she offer? Gifts, spices, gold, precious stones, and jewels. In the 15th verse, David was even more specific, Psalm 72, verse 15, when he said, he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Specifically, Father, I don't want him just to have presents from Sheba. I want him to have the gold of Sheba. And if you will read back in 1 Kings 10 and read the 10th verse. And she, that is the queen of Sheba, gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices and all the rest of it. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And so very specifically, here is the gold of Sheba coming into Solomon's treasury as David had prayed a number of years before. Now, if you look at Psalm 72, verse 17, his name shall endure forever, David said. Now, that's a pretty bold confession to make for a boy who's not yet a king. His name will live forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. Now, is that being fulfilled? His name is enduring, isn't it? There's no reason for it not to be enduring. Why? Because Jesus himself said that these words would never pass away. Heaven and earth would pass away, but these words would never pass away. And many of the words that are in this book are whose words? Solomon's words. His name will never pass away, not as long as the sun exists, and furthermore, men shall be blessed in him. How many of you have been blessed in Solomon by the reading of the book of the Proverbs? Bold praying, brazen praying, confident confessing. And we see the fulfilling of it even in our own lives. Look once again at the second verse. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. If you still have your finger in 1 Kings 10, notice what is said there in verse 23 through 25. And let's look at the ninth verse first. The queen of Sheba says this about Solomon. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And then the 23rd verse and following. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, a rate year by year. Seems to me that it's important for us to pray for our kids. Seems to me that God is not only willing to hear our prayers, but also willing to answer them. And parents who are willing to pray confidently and boldly for their kids will get the ear of God. But Pastor, you don't know my kids. They're so far gone, I don't believe prayer would help them. Well, if you don't believe prayer would help them, then don't bother praying for them, because your prayer will not help them. It's the prayer of faith that is going to help them. And what I'm trying to do this morning, what I believe that the Spirit of God is trying to say to us today, is that it's important to note these things, because we need to have confidence that God hears the prayers of the parents for our children. He hears specific prayers, and He answers specifically. And that we ought not to be afraid to ask largely on behalf of our children. Well, I look at my child, and there's just absolutely no way in the natural that he could ever amount to anything. Well, that's true in the natural. But we don't serve a natural God. We serve a supernatural God. And He is not only not limited by natural things, He's unconcerned with natural things. Your child may be fully grown, but he wouldn't be the first fully grown child that would be turned from iniquity to righteousness, that he wouldn't be turned from an average existence in the scheme of God's, in God's scheme of things, to a place of great importance and value in the kingdom of God. What are you praying for your children? What are you confessing over your children? That He will judge the people with righteousness, that His name will endure, that He'll count in the kingdom of God, that His contribution to mankind and God's kingdom will be valuable and significant and important, or He'll never amount to a tinker's flip. What are the words that are coming out of your mouth concerning your sons and your daughters? What's in your heart concerning them? Do you ask God? And then declare with your heart that they'll amount to something, that they'll be valuable in God's scheme of things? Or have you given up on them? Have you quit? The key question in my mind today is this one. If God were to bring to pass what you are asking for and confessing concerning your children, would you be pleased? If God brought to pass what you are asking for and what you are confessing, would you be pleased? If the answer is yes, keep on keeping on. If the answer is no, please change what you're praying. Please change what you're confessing. Please change what you're declaring. And remember that God is not the respecter of persons, and that He would not do for this man David what He was unwilling to do for you. You may say, well, David was a man after God's own heart. I'm not that good. David was an adulterer and a murderer. I said David was an adulterer and a murderer. And so you don't want to get yourself in that kind of condemnation and allow the devil to rob you from what God can do in your life for your children. What He did for David, I believe with all my heart He'd do for you, if you're willing to ask largely of Him. I've asked largely for my kids. For years, I've asked largely for them. We haven't seen it all come to pass yet, but it'll come to pass just as surely, just as surely, just as surely, just as surely I'm here to tell you that what I have asked for my sons and what I am confessing for my sons, I'm here to tell you that it will come to pass, even if it comes to pass after I'm in my grave, as it did for David. David died and went into the grave and did not see these things come to pass, but we are here to confess and declare that God heard this man's prayers and God brought them to pass. And I know that he shall do the same for me, and I know that he shall do the same for you. So watch the seeds that you're planting for your children. Watch the things that you're confessing over them. Watch the things that you're saying to them and about them. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you may bind your children or you may loose your children. And you may pray them and believe them and confess them into a satisfying, gratifying, valuable, and significant life. Or you may do the same for and press them into the exact opposite kind of situation. So I want us to be encouraged today by David's prayer. I want us to be encouraged by the fact that it's the Almighty God that listens to and hears our prayers and the words of our mouths. Let's bow our heads now in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for encouragement today. We thank you, Lord, for the example of Solomon. We thank you, our Father, for the prayer that was recorded from the lips of his father. We thank you today, our Father, for speaking to us concerning the value and the importance of believing prayer on the part of parents. That it is not enough to give our children 3 square meals and a pair of shoes. That we must also walk closely with you. And that we must have an eye beyond tomorrow. Beyond what they're going to eat, and beyond what they're going to wear, and beyond where they're going to live, and beyond the kind of education that they're going to have, and so on. We must have a view towards how our children are going to fit into the eternal scheme of things, and what portion of the inheritance of God they're going to walk in. Help us, Lord, to pray positively according to the Word of God. Help us, our Father, to believe and to confess and to declare only good things where our children are concerned. Help us to build them up and to edify them and to lift them up and to encourage them into the good way. Help us to be working with you when you speak to our children with a voice behind them saying, "Here is the right way, walk in it." Help us to speak harmoniously with that voice, rather than competitively from a negative and unbeneficial standpoint. Help us, Lord, to hold our impatience and hold our anger. Help us, Lord, to deal righteously with our children and to judge them according to your righteousness. We believe, our Father, that what you hear come from our mouths are seeds that are planted for the future with regard to our offspring. Consequently, the next generation and the generation after that and the one after that tends to receive something very major in the realm of the Spirit. Hence, you have said that your judgment will be upon those that hate you and refuse to do your commandments to 1,000 generations. On the other hand, or to the 3rd and 4th generation, on the other hand, your blessing will be upon the succeeding generations to 1,000 of those that love you. So we see there's something very important here, Father. Something very important. Thank you for this reminder and this instruction today. In Jesus' name, amen.